Ladies and gentlemen, this show is brought to you exclusively by the Reality Check Podcast Network.
Welcome, everybody, to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. This is the review show of one of the most anticipated rivalries in the history of professional wrestling, AEW versus NXT, and we're bringing it to you RTW style. That means the most in-depth, cutting-edge coverage of the Wednesday Night War. Now, without further ado, here is your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois. Hey guys, welcome back to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. This is your AEW versus NXT Wednesday Night War Show, episode number 30. I am your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois. Oh boy. It is a chore to watch some of these shows. Even I, who've been a big proponent and a big supporter of both brands, I'm getting tired of seeing empty arena shows. I'm going to be honest. They're going to have to put on something really, really entertaining to hold people's attention. It's not always being done. There was some good stuff on both shows, and there was some bad stuff on both shows. And I am here faithfully breaking it down for you guys every single week. So let's get into it. Here is what I thought about this week's AEW Dynamite. AEW Dynamite coming to you from parts unknown. It is the last of four straight taped shows that we have been brought from AEW each week. Starting next week, they will be going live from Daly's Place in Jacksonville, Florida, because if you heard my rant last week, particularly on the flagship, AEW has been deemed an essential business in the state of Florida, and if you're playing a drinking game called How Many Times Do They Say an Essential Business in the State of Florida, and you take a drink each time, my condolences. So starting next week, AEW will be going live, and I believe they'll be alternating live and tape schedules as WWE is, but for those of you that are missing some of their bigger stars that haven't been on lately, starting next week, Jon Moxley will be there. Chris Jericho will be back in action. He's been on commentary for the last 4 weeks. JR should be back, but hopefully Excalibur won't. We start off the show with a TNT Championship Tournament semifinal match, the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes with his wife Brandi Rhodes in his corner, taking on Darby Allin. There's a little bit of history going on between these two. These two faced off way back at Fyter Fest last year in a time limit draw. And then Cody defeated Allin on the New Year's episode of Dynamite earlier this year. They've also teamed together several times. So they have a little bit of history going on. Pretty good match. At one point, Darby Allin took Brandi Rhodes out. He just ran after Cody outside the ring and turned around and did a reverse, a backwards coffin or a running coffin drop. Anyway, he turned around backwards and just rammed his back into Brandi Rhodes, into the guardrail. And she was helped off the set by Billy Gunn. Of course, that enraged Cody. He put the boots to Darby Allin pretty good. This one back and forth. The finish was good, but a little strange. Cody went for a ripcord lariat. Darby Allin countered it with a flipping stunner. Allin then attempted an acai moonsault, but Cody caught him in midair and hit him with the crossroads for a near fall. I don't know why that move has been kicked out of lately. I mean, that's your finish, and it's not being protected, especially on an episode of Dynamite. It's not like it's a pay-per-view. I mean, I understand there's bigger stakes on the line with this being a title tournament, but I'm just not a big fan of false finishes off of people's finishing moves. Cody went to the top. He went for a coffin drop and missed it. Allin then went for the coffin drop and hit it. But then Cody caught him with tied him up in a crucifix and rolled him up for the pin. Well, that was kind of cool that Darby hit his finisher. And you're like, oh shit, Cody might lose. Cody grabbed him in a crucifix and Darby just sat there. Like, he didn't kick his legs. He didn't struggle. It's almost like he knocked himself out with his own finisher. I don't know. It was a good finish. I just would have seen a little bit of distress from Darby Allin on that, but there was none. So Cody gets the win with a crucifix roll up. And he moves on to the finals of the TNT title tournament. Then we get this, a beautiful vignette from Scorpio Sky. I love the one that they did last week. Very informative, learning a lot about Scorpio Sky as a person and learning about, you know, some of his life and how he got into wrestling. And this was part two of that. So I want to play it for you right now. Here is Scorpio Sky.
Frankie and Chris were looking for a third guy for a while then. And so I was completely on board because I always looked up to those guys. They have always been the pinnacle of what you want to be. But the thing that intimidated me was they've been together for years and they were established stars. And I really didn't want to be just the third guy. But it didn't really seem like it hit until being the elite worst town became a thing.
This is the worst town I've ever
been. They've been a huge part of my career and my growth.
Look, Scorpio Sky has been red hot. This guy could be the next AEW champion. He believes it. He feels it. He's got momentum going for him.
Some people go their entire careers and they don't have opportunities to wrestle on television for a world championship. It's a monumental situation. But once I got in the moment, I felt right at home. I felt like I was right where I was supposed to be. You know, I walk around the dressing room and I see a lot of people that are just happy to be here. I'm never satisfied. I don't want to be good. I don't even want to be great. I want to be a f***ing legend.
Good stuff with Scorpio Sky there.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Vampiro. This right here is the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Tune in, get tuned up, get informed, and enjoy the podcast.
Business with personality. That's the idea that launched London's business newspaper, City AM, 15 years ago. And it's the same idea that inspired our new daily podcast, The City View, where you'll find me, City AM editor Christian May, interviewing the most well-known, influential and colourful figures from business, politics and finance. The City View from City AM. With a new episode every morning, it's the perfect start to your working day.
Hey everyone, this is Sharon Waxman. I'm the founder and the editor-in-chief of The Wrap, the premier news source for daily coverage of the entertainment industry. I'm also your host of this new podcast, The Wrap-Up, a show that gives you an insider's look at the top stories in Hollywood. Each week, we'll bring you the latest news on the business of movies, TV, streaming, and tech. So be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you each week on The Wrap-Up.
Talking about how SCU came together and how he just didn't want to be the third guy. But yes, he said that they've become a huge part of his career. And he sees a lot of guys in the locker room just happy to be there, but he's not satisfied till he's a freaking legend. We didn't get a promo from MJF, which I also want to play for you right now because it's pretty funny. It's pretty entertaining. He has miraculously healed from his previous injury. And he wants to tell you about it. Here is Maxwell Jacob Friedman.
Hello. Right now, without me, I'm sure you feel like you're in an Uber with a foreign driver who, for some strange reason, doesn't want to use the GPS. Lost. And that's why I took it upon myself to work so hard, and because of my unapologetic courageousness, I was able to rehab my horrible injury. Now, after seeing my nail doctor, who just so happens to be the most prolific nail doctor in his field, he was in awe. Because he told me he's never seen such a miraculous turnaround in the history of modern medicine. He said I went from being on death's door to not only healing my hangnail, but overhealing it. Yeah, you heard me right. He said I now have the strongest nail in the world. His words, not mine. And I was, as you can imagine, so excited to be live and in living color back on AEW Dynamite. And so I did what everybody does that's professional. I tried to get TV ready, and while I was shaving, the unthinkable happened. I nicked my neck. I know, it's gruesome. And I'm sure a normal man would have bled out and died, but not me, because I am a warrior. And it hurt. I'm not gonna lie to you people, it hurt so much, because I was so looking forward to, during this time period, to hopping on a germ-infested plane. I mean, I was foaming at the mouth at the idea of having the opportunity to wrestle in front of 6 or 7 of my peers that I really respect. I mean, really, really respect. And moreover, I mean, I was breathtaking at the possibility of being to entertain you people in your hour of need, because I care about you so much. But I'll be back, not just for you, but for me, because I'm the voice brave enough to cry out. I am the storm thundering across the horizon. I am the candle that is lit in the dark room. I am the only hope this company has left. I am Maxwell Jacob Friedman, and I'm better than you. And you know it.
Oh, he overhealed. Now he has the strongest nail in the world. But then he unfortunately nicked his neck when he was shaving. He pulled off his scarf when he did that to reveal a neck brace on. Oh God, what a dick. But yeah, he will be on AEW next week when they go live. He was another one that's been missing from the actual show and only been doing vignettes for the last few weeks. So a lot of stars coming back next week. We then get his heavy, Mr. Mayhem Wardlow, in a match with Moosa. Wardlow gets the win with what they call the F10. It's just it's like an F5, but double. I don't fucking know. It's a modified airplane spin. He puts him up on his shoulders like the F5, and he picks him up and spins him. Instead of dropping him down, he just fucking helicopters him and try doing that to a bigger guy. To me, Wardlow sucks, and I don't see the appeal in it at all. He's very, very green. I mentioned it last week, and this was another squash match, and just wasn't good. We then get an episode of the Bubbly Bunch, which I'm not going to play for you, but they talked about their Flim Flam dance off of last week, and from last week, and they argue over who really won. Sammy proudly shows off his bottle of hand sanitizer that he won. Jericho then challenges all the members to a Manitoba melee. And then what they do is everyone, there's a TikTok video going around on social media where everybody punches at the camera and the next person reacts to it. Well, that's what they did here. And there's a lot of different wrestlers involved. Sonny Kiss, the fucking librarian guy, even some celebrities like Jay and Silent Bob, Lou Ferrigno. Who else was involved? Chris's dad. Chris Jericho's dad, Ted, was involved. Ted Irvine. Who else was there? At first, I thought Lou Ferrigno was, I thought it was Randy or Lanny Poffo, but it was Lou Ferrigno, and he had a taser. Virgil was involved. Vicky Guerrero was there. Fluffy, the comedian, Gabriel Iglesias, he was involved. Several different social media stars, and it was cool. It was fun to see. Definitely go out of your way and check it out. It's on AEW's YouTube page. We then get a no DQ, no count out tag team match. Jimmy Havoc teaming up with Superbad Kip Sabian with Penelope Ford taking on the Best Friends with Orange Cassidy. This was, I don't want to say a train wreck, but it was overbooked. It was interesting. There was a lot of action, but a lot of ladders and tables and chairs involved. Just stuff, people all over the place. It was a decent match. At the end, Orange Cassidy went up to the top and dove off with a plancha onto Ford and Sabian. Taylor then hits the awful waffle onto a pile of chairs onto Jimmy Havoc for the pin and the win. It was crazy. It was a lot of action. I mean, a lot of people dig this stuff. I just thought it was a little bit much. It was a little overbooked. Too many people involved. Too much stuff going on at one time. Maybe my old ass just can't follow it all. But it wasn't bad. It wasn't horrible. It definitely kept my attention for a while. We then get a vignette from Britt Baker in another one of her role model segments, which we're going to play for you right now. So here is the one, the only, the lovely and somewhat annoying Dr. Britt Baker, DDS.
Hey guys, welcome to my dental office. Come on in. And you actually came at a perfect time. We're just about to do another rule of being a role model, and you're actually a little bit early, so you get to see what goes on putting these awesome segments together. Oh, hey guys. This is my makeup artist. Say hi.
Hi.
Reba makes sure I look my absolute best on camera.
Actually, my name is Rebel.
Can I see?
That's what you told me.
Oh yeah, this one's better. This one's definitely better.
Yeah. So I do Britt's makeup anytime she does these role model segments. And
oh, hang on, cut, 1 second. Cut, we'll be right back. Reba, can I steal you for a second? It'll be really, really quick.
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
You're great, seriously.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, come on back. Just a little privacy and, okay, so I need you to call me Dr. Britt Baker when you say my name.
Okay. Sorry.
It's rude. Yeah. Uh-oh. And if I'm going to give you your big break, I need you to go over it like we discussed.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah. Got it.
Well, just do better. Okay. Right.
Honestly, this project has been incredible. Dr. Britt Baker has been such an inspiring role model. It has just been an absolute privilege to do her makeup.
That was great. I loved it. I thought that was great. Did you get the picture in the background? Damn it, Reba, get that chair out of there. Okay, ready? Hey gang, it's Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and we're back this week because I had so many requests on Twitter, Instagram, and even those old folks on Facebook begging for more tips of being a role model. So you, the fans, asked, here I am. Oh, how'd I get there? Not that one. There we go. Rule number 2 is one I learned very early in life, and that's not everyone can be a role model. Take, for example, glasses wearers. Unless you're a doctor, don't wear glasses. Don't try to act smart if you're not. It's not cute. Fat people. Guys and girls, you need to suck it in for photos. I've never altered a photo in my life, but for all you cows out there, Photoshop and filters are your friends. Use them. And last, Snaggletooth. If you don't have aesthetically pleasing teeth, don't smile. It's uncomfortable for you, but most importantly, it's uncomfortable for us. Let's not draw attention to it. Okay? Okay. Some people were born just to show others what not to do. And in some ways, that's being a role model too. I'll see you guys next time.
So her makeup artist, you couldn't see because obviously it was Otto, but Rebel, who she called Rebby, which is hilarious, is actually a wrestler from TNA Impact. I'm not sure if she's signed by AEW, but she is. Rebel is a professional wrestler and a very, very good one too. And smoking hot. But this was funny. This was filmed kind of the Office style, if you're a fan of that TV show. It was kind of cool. It was like behind the scenes of a behind the scenes. We then get to Chairman Sean Spears taking on Baron Black. I can't wait till these guys go live again. Sean Spears wins via the sharpshooter. And funny note, I read an article today that Spears actually contacted Bret Hart to get permission to use the sharpshooter. So very classy. That's a time-honored tradition. When you want to use somebody else's established finish, you contact them via Stone Cold giving Kevin Owens the blessing to use the stunner and Randy Orton not asking DDP to use the diamond cutter. We then get another segment from Taz. He's been doing every week, breaking down someone's particular finisher. This week it was Lance Archer's Blackout, which is it's like a Razor's Edge kind of thing. It's an inverted crucifix powerbomb, I think is what they called it. So I like seeing Taz break that down. It's a cool little thing that they do. We then get a promo from Marco Stunt talking about all the beatings he's taken as of late and that he can take a lot more than what's been dished out to him. And he certainly will, because in this next segment, he was taking on the Exalted One, Brody Lee. Marco, I think the only attempt he got in was, I think, one punch and a boot and a tope suicida that got blocked. And that was about it. He got the living fucking shit beat out of him. Pop up powerbomb for the win by the Exalted One. There was two good matches on the show, like 2.5. The Cody one was okay. God, there's just too many squash matches because they have a limited crew, and we're seeing it on all shows. It's not just AEW. It's NXT. It's Raw. It's SmackDown. We then get a promo package. This is a very promo heavy show. We get a promo video from your AEW champion, John Moxley, which I do want to play for right now. Moxley will be on AEW Dynamite next week. But here he is, your AEW world champion, John Moxley.
Isn't it amazing that it was only 8 weeks ago I was celebrating the world championship?
We've got a new champion! We've got a new champion!
Leading, sweating, high-fiving in a sea of fans.
I don't have words to describe the gratitude that I have.
That seems like a lifetime ago.
Toward the entire AEW family.
What the hell happened? Now instead of screaming your lungs out at a live AEW event, you're watching safely from your home, and we thank you for that. Tough times never last forever, and I promise, one day, we will all be back together, and I will be bleeding and swearing in a sea of fans once again, but for right now, it's a good time to reflect on the things you're thankful for. I myself have a lot to be thankful for. I'm thankful for old number 7. I'm thankful for my wife, because it takes a hell of a woman to be stuck in the house with me for weeks on end. I'm thankful for steel chairs, because as a general rule of thumb, a DDT on a steel chair is always better than not on a steel chair. I guess they didn't teach that concept in the wrestling room at Oklahoma University, did they, bitch?
Paradise Jack on the steel chair!
I am thankful most of all that AEW is live next week. And circumstances aside, I've still got a job to do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw the dogs in the truck. I'm going to load Big Platinum here in the truck, throw a few bottles and a few Metallica CDs in the truck, and I'm going to head east. And I will be live at AEW Dynamite next week. And I understand that with Double or Nothing coming up, I got a big target on my back. But before anybody gets their face broken or their arm broken or they get choked unconscious or hit in the head with a steel chair, they get a thumbtack shoved in their eyeball, please remember, When you step up to the world champion, you do so at your own risk. Now, this is a time of togetherness. Be nice to your neighbor. Support your local businesses by ordering takeout. And most importantly, is everybody paying attention? Don't forget to call your grandmother.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy, the coach from the WWE. Now, there are very few wrestling podcasts out there that I like, but this one I love. I love the name. I love the personalities. I love the content. Follow, subscribe. I do. The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. That's where you're at right here on the Reality Check Podcast Network.
What's going on? You have John Wangland, one of the hosts of Wrestling with Reality. Check out our shows this week on Wrestling with Reality. We have some great shows. We have our MMA show. We look at, is Khabib Nurmagomedov versus George St. Pierre a reality? Why John Jones is such a disgrace to the UFC? We also have on WCW Monday Nitro Watch Along, and we take a look back at Triple H in his 25-year career in the WWE. So check out Wrestling with Reality on all major podcast outlets.
Hey everyone, this is Stan Wangler from Just Thinking. Stop on by this week and listen to some of the great podcasts we have lined up for you. Two in particular are really good shows. One is called Are We Driving Ourselves Insane? Well, are we? And the next one is called Have You Been Having a Bad Day? Did you have a bad day? Well, if you did, this is the show for you. And I bet you, when you get done listening, you'll feel a lot better. So join us.
Our final match is the second of two TNT Championship Tournament semifinal matches. The Murderhawk Monster, Lance Archer, taking on the Natural Dustin Rhodes with Brandi Rhodes in his corner. Good to see Brandi in her amazing... Brandi, good to see her back after it got taken out in the beginning of the show to be here in Dustin's corner. Holy shit, this is a good match. One problem I have with it, Dustin got hit with a chair. Let me back up just to give you the proper context, and then I will complain about the referee a little bit. So Lance Archer went outside the ring and grabbed a chair. Dustin knocked it out of his hand, and then Dustin went to pick it up. And obviously, if the chair was used on your opponent, you'd be disqualified. So Archer... big boots the chair into Dustin's face, which it's fine. It doesn't count as a disqualification. Archer went and played to the camera while Dustin bladed and cut himself open. Dustin Rhodes was bleeding for the rest of this match. Some people are taking exception to that. I had this very same thought. My buddy, former WWE referee Jimmy Corderas, who's been on the show several times, took to Twitter today to say in his ref and rant segment that he does every week. It's about a minute long where he'll rant about something every day. So in today's ref and rant, he complained about Dustin bleeding and with COVID-19 going on and all that and everything that we know about it and a lot of things that we don't know about it. Is it really smart to be bleeding during this time? No, I absolutely agree with that. It's not a good time to be doing that. A lot of people say it's not a good time to even be wrestling in close contact, but to be bleeding on top of that, getting someone's DNA all over you who could be asymptomatic and not showing any symptoms and get that person sick. Not a smart move. That was very, very, well, it was cool to see. It was a good visual. It's very irresponsible. This is coming from a guy that doesn't always believe everything that he's been told about this whole thing. But yeah, that happened. Dustin was bleeding for the rest of the match. Good, you know, 20 minutes of the match. It was a good 35-minute match or so. Dustin really showed that, you know, showed up Archer quite a bit. Dustin's not a small guy. And this is the first really, you know, big challenge that Lance Archer has faced. And rightfully so. I mean, Dustin Rhodes is obviously a longtime veteran and a decorated wrestler over the years. And was he's tough as nails, man. He put up a great fight. So, in the end, Rhodes got this. Archer hit him with a just devastating choke slam. Dustin kicked out. Archer went to the top rope and walked the ropes old school style, like Undertaker. And not just like halfway, you know, like a few steps, like literally walked down the entire rope and then turned around and did a freaking moonsault right on the Dustin. It was pretty impressive for a guy that big and to show that kind of agility. He got a near fall on that. Archer went for the blackout, which is his finisher. Dustin blocked it, went for another crossroads, but ate a second choke slam for another near fall. Rhodes then countered into a roll-up for a near fall of his own. Archer then destroyed Dustin with a big boot and then took off the top turnbuckle and slammed Dustin's head into the exposed turnbuckle repeatedly. QT Marshall runs out and acts like he's going to throw in the towel, but Cody stops him. Archer then grabbed Rhodes by the head, grabbed the towel, threw it away, and threw it back at him. Archer grabbed Dustin by the head, kind of gave him like an iron claw and slammed his head into the mat repeatedly and then pinned him. So Cody stopped the towel from being thrown in because QT was about to throw it in there. Jericho was complaining like he could have stopped his assault, you know, from his own brother. What was Cody thinking? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, Dustin's a man. He can fight for himself. That's obvious. But yeah, really, really good match. Fantastic main event. Really big win for Lance Archer and a great showing by Dustin Rhodes against the, well, he's a newcomer here, but he's in his 40s himself. But really, really good match. Again, I don't agree with the blood, but the finish was kind of cool. Here's where I have a problem with the referee. Two things happened in this match. I didn't mention the what the fuck did they call it when Dustin would get him in the corner and kick him in the balls. I forgot what they used to call what he called that. But yeah, Dustin did the old gold dust move where he got Lance Archer into the turnbuckles, propped each leg up, you know, over the second rope, so he spread eagle, ran up and kicked him right in the balls right in front of the referee. No disqualification at all. Lance later on takes the turnbuckle off and exposes the ring that's there in the top turnbuckle and slams Dustin's head into the exposed turnbuckle. Still, there's no disqualification from that. These are absolute blatant moves, and this it's not like this was a fucking no DQ match. It's a tournament regular match, you know. Pinfall, submission, count out or disqualification will get you a win or a loss, depending on what it is. There's no reason why the referee did not call for the DQ. What the fuck do you have to do in AEW to get disqualified? There is a precedent for these things. We've seen Goldust get disqualified. Kicking some in the fucking balls. And usually when the referee is distracted and somebody takes a turnbuckle off, it even happens in a fucking video game. If the referee is distracted, you can go over and take the fucking turnbuckle pad off and use it against your opponent when he's not looking. Otherwise, it's disqualification. So, and that leads me to earlier in the night. Aubrey Edwards, who I complained about last week, and I'm going to complain about again this week. Aubrey Edwards was the referee during the Cody and Darby Allin match. Several times she got in the way. She was not in the right position. She almost got knocked over twice because she was not in the right position. I know she's young. I know she has a lot to learn. But we've seen this from AEW officials since the inception of Dynamite and maybe even the pay-per-views. The refereeing has been subpar. It's been inconsistent. Constantly do we see things that are done by them that don't make sense. And they're not vocal either. Like, I want to hear the count when somebody's outside the ring. That's one thing I will say. I made a concerted effort during both of these shows to listen and watch the referees. So I noticed what Aubrey did wrong, and I noticed what the gentleman did wrong during the main event. I don't know his name, but he obviously didn't call for any of his qualifications when this was done right in front of him. And then I go to NXT officials, who I don't even know. So it's like, I can't even say it's because these, you know, these AEW officials are green. I don't even know the guys' names on NXT. They're new officials that I haven't seen before or haven't seen a lot of. But they are more animated. You know, they're more involved. They're louder. And I get there's a pretty quiet room there in NXT because they don't have, you know, the wrestlers at ringside and all that to make extra noise. But at least the NXT and WWE officials are consistent in what they do. And you don't see any mistakes typically from them at all. Just a pet peeve that I have. I brought this to Jimmy Carter's attention on Twitter, and he's like, you know, I get what you're saying about NXT referees being louder, and that's probably because the room is quiet and they have to be, you know, they want to fill the room with noise. But as far as your other point about Aubrey, people always take what I say out of context, so I'm just going to bow out of that. And it's true. People that troll Jimmy are notorious for taking things that he says and just twisting them around just to get a rise out of him. That's how his crowd rolls. But no, that's your Dynamite. I mean, I thought it was a good show. All half of it was a good show. I did like the Cody match. I did like the Best Friends and Jimmy Havoc Kip Sabian match for the most part, even though it was a little bit too much. And I love the main event. The main event was fantastic. Everything else, every other match sucked. And the promo, I will say this, the promo package they did were very, very good. That entertained me the most. I love the Scorpio Sky vignette. I love the MJF promo, and I really love the Britt Baker video. And even Moxley was pretty good, but even he's getting kind of old. But yeah, that's I'll be glad when these guys go live next week and have some guys come back. Next week we will see Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy will be teaming up with Kenny Omega to take on Les Sex Gods. That's literally what they're calling them. Chris Jericho, Les Champion, and the best ever, the Spanish God, Sammy Guevara. Really looking forward to that. John Moxley will be in action. MJF will be there. They'll be getting some stars back, and I'll be looking forward to that. I do want to mention one thing that happened that I noticed on Twitter today. At Hazarix, Hazarix, Harry Ricard, who is a European fan, he had tweeted, Cody booking himself to win everything is really good, upside down smiley face. So I saw that, and I tweeted back, trust me, I was a big proponent against, quote, the boys being in charge. But you have to give Cody this one, though. For now, he can't challenge for the AEW World Championship. If he really was on top, he'd be the main guy. Food for thought. Harry replied, personally, I think he comes across as the main guy anyway. I don't watch AEW, so I don't have a strong opinion here. But I keep forgetting Mox is champ, and I always see Cody as their top guy. I'm just not a fan at all. Spears, Wardlow, Butcher, Blade, Sabian, Darby. Like I said, though, I'm not a viewer of AEW, so maybe I'm missing something. But it is not even a casual. I view Cody as the only real star in AEW. Also, I think the thing of him not being able to challenge for the title was insanely dumb. So I had asked, you know, I said, fair enough, but just for my own curiosity, if you don't watch and don't really know the week-to-week happenings, why make the initial tweet? He said, because I have watched some AEW online, and I can't help but notice that Cody just stomps his way through everyone, unless it's a crazy overbooked finish like with MJF. I get that. But here's the problem I have with this, man. Like, and I was respectful and I was nice, but and I'm going to try to be right here, but if you don't watch it every week and you don't know what goes on, you admit that you don't watch AEW, so you don't have a strong opinion, but you're still going to tweet Cody booking himself to win everything is really good. To what? To be a dick? To get a rise out of people? To troll? Like, I don't get it. Like, so many, and that's why I asked, but like, I still don't buy the explanation. I still think people like tweeting shit about AEW and NXT because they don't like it. And I get that AEW may not be shown in the UK. I'm not exactly sure about that. But to say that Cody is the only real star in AEW when you got fucking Chris Jericho there, like, forget Matt Hardy and John Moxley and whatever. That's fine. Dustin Rhodes, who cares, right? Chris Jericho's there. He was the first ever AEW champion. How the fuck? And I never ever stick up for Cody. Trust me. How the fuck can you say Cody is the only real star in AEW when you have other guys there like that, especially Chris Jericho? But don't give me this shit, man. That Cody booking himself to win everything is really good, and then go on to say, I don't watch AEW, so I don't have a strong opinion here. But you still took to Twitter to fucking tweet about it. You're not watching the goddamn show. Say, now I'm getting fired up and I don't really want to. You don't watch the show, but yet you have to go on and tweet about it. Because you notice that he won his tournament, Matt. He's going to move into the finals of the TNT tournament. Dude, if you don't watch every week, why you bother tweeting about it? And he may be catering to a certain crowd, because a lot of people that responded were, you know, this is why the active wrestlers should not be bookers. I'm just saying there needs to be something learned from this. And he has a gif of Hogan and the finger poke of doom on Kevin Nash. Harry responded to that. It's such bollocks. And the guy that tweeted said, really puts me off from watching AEW because the boys are in charge. Another person says, I'm hoping they didn't just create this new mid-card title just to give it to him. I mean, come on, man. You guys, seriously. Like, fucking hell. Here's the problem with, and this is a conundrum, and this is the problem with the elite being in charge, with Matt and Nick Jackson, with Cody Rhodes, with Hangman Page, and with Kenny Omega. And they put this in perspective this past week. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Had they booked themselves to be champions from the get-go, people would have been like, oh, Jesus Christ, here we go. The elite's putting themselves on top. What the fuck? And now that they're not, they've been pushing all these younger guys, trying to make these younger guys stars, and they're just not getting over. Especially Kenny Omega. Like, let's just use, because fucking Cody was always a mid-carder, right? I mean, Matt and Nick Jackson were indie guys. Hangman Page was, you know, was big in Japan, or semi-big in Japan, but never really a top star. Kenny Omega was a top star in Japan. Highly sought after by the WWE as well. Was in their camp for a while and left, but wanted him back before he actually signed with AEW. Let's just use Kenny Omega as an example in what a lot of his peers and colleagues and a lot of fans will say, that he is arguably the best wrestler in the world. Chris Jericho has never beat him. Contrary to what Chris says. But you have Kenny Omega, who's been booked poorly since he's gotten to AEW because he's an EVP and doesn't want to put himself over. So what happens? He's made to look weak, right? He wrestles this dude last week. I don't remember his name, but he literally gave him 40% offense during the match in what should have been a squash match from a guy that you've never heard of. And admittedly, the announcer said is a local indie wrestler against one of the best wrestlers in the entire world, which Tony and Chris even say during the match. And this guy gets in a bunch of offense against Kenny, trying to make this guy look good. This is what happens. Kenny Omega has not been booked strong, and there's not enough top guys in AEW because they're trying to make all these younger guys, stars and trying to get them over, and it's just not happening. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Had they put all the titles on themselves or been in all the main events, people would have been like, oh, Jesus Christ, here's the elite doing this bullshit again. But because they put other people over, not themselves, they're seen as being weak and there's not enough top stars in AEW. That's the problem. And that is the problem with them being in charge. They're not going to win either way. It's a no-win situation. So why put themselves in that position to begin with? Good question. Good question. I've said for months and months and months now that there needs to be some other people in charge, some other people in authority, be it Jim Ross or, you know, put Dean Malenko in a management position. I know Tony Khan is there to run this stuff by, but I mean, you really want somebody with wrestling experience and give these guys a filter. Like Vince McMahon is the filter, or Bruce Pritchard is the filter, or Paul Heyman is the filter. Shane, Stephanie, Michael Hayes. Yeah, they have a lot of agents there. Arn Anderson should be put in that position too. I mean, and who knows, they might be. I'm not saying they're not. I don't truly know what goes on behind the scenes. You know, J.J. Dillon, guys like that, like put them in a position of prominence to where the elite can come up and say, oh, yeah, this is what we do. Yeah, well, that's good, but let's try this. And even if it's the same stuff they're normally going to put on TV, at least we know it'll be running through somebody else that will say, here, that's fine, great, run with that, that's good. Arn thought it was good. J.J. thought it was good. Jim Cornette, somebody. Or maybe not Jim Cornette. The guy's fucking crazy. You know what I mean, though? Like, even if we thought kayfabe, somebody else was in fucking charge to listen, you know, to listen to the elite's things. At least it'd be like, oh, that's cool. That works, you know? Like, Jack Tunney was the supposed president of the WWF back in the day. And he didn't do shit. He was just a figurehead. Give us a figurehead. Make us fucking feel better about it. Maybe people stop complaining about the elite being in charge. Anyway, that's the end of my rant. That's what I thought about this week's AEW Dynamite. So let's get into it. Here's what I thought about this week's NXT on USA. Coming to you as usual from the empty Full Sail Arena in Orlando, Florida. We get a highlight package from last week's NXT. And then we get Tom Phillips welcoming Mauro Ranallo and Beth Phoenix back to the announce booth. Thanks for filling in, Tom. Thanks for being here when Mauro and Beth were away. You're a trooper. We didn't get an interim Cruiserweight Championship tournament match. Isaiah Scott taking on El Hijo del Fantasma. I believe this is a Group B match. Really good match. I didn't like Fantasma last week, but I thought he was better suited here against Swerve. Swerve wrestled like a, I don't want to say a cruiserweight, but I mean, he wrestled like a luchador. He had a Lucha Libre flair to him, and Swerve's been around for a while. Grand Pooh Bear, who you've heard on this show twice already, very, you know, world-famous streamer from Twitch and YouTube. Pooh is from Washington, and he has seen Swerve wrestle for years now at his local indie federation. Swerve's been kind of all over the world, but, man, Swerve is really good. I really, really enjoyed this match. This match went back and forth. In the end, Swerve got the win with a sweet freaking pinning counter, a pinning combination. Very, very, very good match. I really, really like what I saw. Swerve then cut a promo after that saying that, you know, you give the guy the ball for the last shot and he's going to fucking drain it. You know, this is going to be his house and this is his time. Good stuff from Swerve Scott. That's really how you make a star. And I really thought Fantasma did a great job as opposed to last week. This is a better pairing for him. Last week he took on Jack Gallagher and it just wasn't a good fit. But this was a fucking fantastic way to start the show. I really, really liked it. After that, we got another attack from these masked masked luchadors, trying to kidnap Phantasma and inside the arena. Somehow they got in, and Phantasma fought them off. It's weird stuff. I'm starting to think that maybe he's behind this whole thing and just trying to make it look like he's the one getting attacked, but he's the one pulling the strings. So he's the one that had Joaquin Wilde and who the fuck was the other guy? I don't remember who it was kidnapped. But yeah, it's weird. It's a weird thing that's going on. We then get a match between Candice LeRae, the newly turned heel, Candice LeRae, who has a new look and a new nickname, with her husband Johnny Gargano in her corner. He even introduced her, which was pretty hilarious. Taking on Casey Catanzaro from American Ninja Warrior fame, who's been there quite a while, got released, got brought back a few months ago, and really hasn't done much, but looked really good, actually. I wish we'd see more from Casey, and given her name value, I don't know why she wasn't featured more, but again, LeRae has the new attitude and the new look, drastically different look. She has like purple, white, and black hair now. And here's the problem I have with Moro. Number one, he has too many fucking like analogies and euphemisms and shit. Like he mentioned, we haven't seen so-and-so in a fortnight, and then makes a fucking comment later on about the actual game Fortnite. I'm like, goddamn Moro. Like, he does that shit all the time, right? Trying to use catchy fucking buzzwords and shit like that, or trendy things. And it just, guys, he's not a hip guy. So it just sounds stupid. But this here at the end, LeRae hit her new finisher called the Wicked Stepsister, which is kind of a curb stomp. She grapevines, you get the wrestler on your stomach and you grapevine her legs, almost like you would kind of like an STF, and then grabs the back of her hair and puts her foot on the back of her head and stomps him into the mat. And Marlo says, oh, she hits her with what she calls the Wicked Stepsister. Well, fucking Morrow, number one, you haven't been here like a month. Number two, she just turned. It's the first time she's that moved. How the fuck do you know what she calls it? It's like an Excalibur shit. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we know you're cool, Morrow. We know you're hip. You know, we know you're in the know. You know all the moves and all that. You know shit that we don't know. But you could have said, oh, there's her new finisher, the Wicked Stepsister. You know, or she told me about this earlier in the day that she was going to unveil this. It's the Wicked, you know, the Wicked Stepsister move. Instead, he fucking announces like we're all supposed to fucking know what it was. I know. Try not to be so hypercritical lately, but sometimes I just can't fucking take it anymore. Candice gets a win with her new finisher that we all know now. Viva la!
Hey everyone, this is Vicky Guerrero, and you're listening to the Reality Check Podcast Network. Excuse me!
Damian Priest is backstage, says that his time has arrived. He knows it must be hard for Keith Lee to take a deep breath. I don't know if that's a fat joke or not. When the night is over, Lee will bask in the glory of the new North American champion, Damian Priest, which that is your main event. God help me, I got to play this fucking next segment for you. So Matt Riddle and Timothy Thatcher, the new tag team that came down since Pete Dunne still can't travel because he's overseas. Riddle came down with Thatcher. Riddle was cutting a promo and all of a sudden breaks into a fucking impromptu game show that Tom Phillips introduces called the Newly Bros Show. With your host, Byron Saxon, who comes out of fucking nowhere with a microphone and cheeses and hams it up to fucking the nth degree. I mean, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago how, you know, Byron's good, but he's always over the top or he's always end up doing this stupid comedy thing. And this is right in his fucking wheelhouse. Byron is a poor man's Dwayne Johnson. I don't have the entire segment for you, but I do have about 3-4 minutes of it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you got to hear this, but here it is. Here's Timothy Thatcher and Matt Riddle on the Newly Bros Show.
I will ask you both a series of questions. You will answer, one of you will answer on the whiteboard, and the other will answer verbally. So, with that said, let's start off with something light. Matt, go ahead and write down what you had for breakfast this morning. And as you write that down, I direct the burning question to you, Timothy. Tell us, what did your partner have for breakfast?
What? I have no idea what Riddle would have for breakfast.
Bro.
That's correct!
Bro, I don't even know what I had for breakfast. I usually wake, the wife bakes. She's a really good cook. What were we talking about?
Well, it's a good thing you're not competing here tonight, Matt. Even though your partner's dressed in his ring gear. All right, good job, guys. Next question. Timothy, what is your favorite television show?
I don't own a TV, Byron.
Timothy, did you just say you don't own a television?
No.
Have you ever considered purchasing one?
Well, I mean, they're expensive, but if the price is right, I guess maybe.
Bro.
Hey! 2 for 2! Now, not to continue to delve into this, Timothy, but you know what I'm sensing here? I'm sensing a lot of potential with this team, a lot of strong chemistry. So you know what that means. Now is your chance to play for the big money, because this is our speed round!
Bro. Speed's really not my thing. I'm all...
No more fun and games! Game show over, courtesy of Imperium Fabian Eichner, Marcel Bartel, Wei Ling, the NXT Tag Team Champions! And boy, Eichner and Bartel really getting to know Riddle up close and personal best!
Oh my God! Riddle was just dropped in the concrete!
But Timothy Thatcher, he is looking to exact some revenge for that ambush by Imperium. And things have broken down in a hurry. No more mirth. Imperium would never be confused as the convivial sort.
The numbers can't be coming too much for Thatcher.
Oh, Bartel and Eichner, ground and pound on Thatcher. Looking to... be like Piranha skeletonizing a water buffalo, and Imperium's not finished!
No!
No! The NXT Tag Team Champions have been decimated! The Ring General, Marcel Bartel, Fabian Eichner, sending a message to the NXT Tag Team Champions.
I don't even know what to say. Thank God Imperium interrupted it. That's all I got to say. That's goofy as fuck. I mean, even my wife said it, who's watching with me, like, this could have been a really well done segment and could have got some good laughs. And it was kind of funny to hear a laugh track, but it was bad. Like, even the pacing, and this is a tape fucking show. Like, this was one of the tape shows that they could have redone this, because it didn't make sense. If you ever watch, this is based off the old Newlywed Show. If you ever watch that, you ask that person a set of questions, and then the other person writes down what they think is going to be the answer. But Timothy wasn't writing anything down. Like, Riddle was doing all the writing, and they just switched back and forth between asking Riddle and Thatcher questions, but as Thatcher was answering, Riddle was writing the same time he was talking. It's just fucking dumb. The execution was horrible. I know you couldn't tell that from the audio, but I'm just letting you know. The execution of this was fucking god-awful. And, you know, my wife said they really could have made that a good segment, and that was just dumb as shit. I said, yeah, no, that's what they do. We then get a promo from NXT champion Adam Cole, and he's not happy about next week. So let's find out why. Here is your longest reigning NXT champion from the Undisputed Era, Adam Cole. Bebe.
It looks like next week we're going to get the Velveteen Dream versus Adam Cole for my NXT Championship. The fact is, I am the reality here in NXT. The Velveteen Dream, he's an experience that nobody ever wanted. And I stand by the fact that the Velveteen Dream, he doesn't deserve a shot at my NXT Championship. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show up as NXT champ. I am going to show out as the greatest NXT champion there has ever been. And I'm going to leave like I always do. The longest reigning NXT champion of all time. The Dream, it will be over. And there is nothing that Velveteen can do about it. And that's undisputed.
Interesting to see that they're still going to have this match between Cole and the Dream, given the fact of what came out last week, allegedly about Velveteen Dream sending illicit photos to a minor through Instagram DMs and even having an audio conversation and screenshots to back it up. Not saying it was him. He's saying he was hacked, as everyone does. But until there's a resolution, I would not go anywhere near this fucking guy and put him on TV, especially when it's something involving an adult and minors. Fucking dumb as hell to keep going on with this. I don't understand why they are. And this was a tape show, so you never know. They could always change that next week, just like Finn Balor was supposed to wrestle last week's show and they took him off. Maybe next week something will happen to Dream and like Finn and he won't be there. You know, he'll be gone. His locker room will be all tore up or whatever. Who knows? I wouldn't go through with the match next week because next week I'm pretty sure is a live show. We then get a non-title match between Mia Yim and the NXT Women's Champion, Charlotte Flair. The backstory here is Mia Yim was around the first time when Charlotte was a newcomer in NXT, and Mia kind of mentored Charlotte. Here we are like 5 years later and Mia's still fucking there and has never been called up. So good. So good. Charlotte gets the win with the figure eight. Not much to talk about this match. It was all right. Io Shirai comes down for the match and starts speaking Japanese to Charlotte. And then in broken English says, next week, you are mine. My wife is like, how many Japanese stars do they have that don't speak English? It's true. And they're never really fully going to get over unless they can cut a promo that we can understand. That's just the fact of life, especially in the wrestling business when communication is key. Like I said, you can be, and this goes for American wrestlers, anybody that can't speak English in a English dominated sport across the world. Sure, it's translated in other countries, but for the most part, this is an American company with a largely American audience. Ricochet can't cut a promo worth a fuck. Fantastic athlete, but never truly going to get to that next level unless he cuts a good promo. So it's not just foreign-born wrestlers. But yeah, it's not going to help you when you can't speak English and, you know, doesn't matter how great your matches are. We didn't get a promo from Karrion Kross, formerly Killer Kross, and Scarlett, formerly Scarlett Bordeaux, letting us know that finally we'll see them on NXT next week. Kate and Zara is being tended to by medical personnel backstage. Kate and Carter was with her. Johnny and Candace walk up, and Candace said that this is the new NXT, and they better get used to it. Footage was shown from last week when Finn Balor's locker room was disheveled and he was nowhere to be found. Finn will be back next week to call out his attacker. I can't imagine it being Walter, if Walter has been here because of travel restrictions. And pretty sure even though certain, you know, most states in the U.S. are reopening under certain restrictions, I still think there's a travel ban from the UK. I'm not 100% solid on that, but I haven't heard anything about it that travel ban was lifted. So we'll see. We'll see who attacked Finn Balor. The other members of Imperium were here. Maybe it was them. We then get the crazy ass Dexter Lumis taking on Shane Thorne. Dexter wins with the sit out urinagi and the katagatame, which is not the anaconda vice, as Tom Phillips called it a couple of weeks ago. It's just kind of like, it's almost like a triangle choke. But the official name for it, which I believe is maybe a Brazilian jiu-jitsu move, it's called the katagatame. Thankfully, Mora was there to tell us about that. Because that's Mora. Footage is shown of Jake Atlas finding Drake Maverick in the parking lot after beating him last week. Atlas says that he knows Maverick is great and hopes that Maverick feels that way about himself. Because we know Drake was down on himself, not only from being released, released, according to everybody else, and then losing last week, and them even showing the video that of him crying when he was released. I still think this is a work until I see otherwise, until he's actually literally gone. I still think it's a work, and he has a 90-day no compete as everybody else does that were released. So I guess they can still use him in a time period, but why him? Why not anybody else? Why not any of these other people that they release that need a paycheck? Why are they using Drake Maverick and then using his video to exploit him? I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying that is exactly what they're doing. I still think it's a work. Drake's taking on Tony Nese in another interim Cruiserweight Championship tournament match, and Drake gets the win. He cuts a promo after the match saying that he's proud of himself for doing it. Akira Tozawa is next. You can call him the Wolf of NXT because he's not leaving. He loves this. He's not leaving without the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. I still think he's going to find a way to win this title. I'm telling you. I think he will get to the finals for sure. I still think it's a work. Our main event, North American Championship match. So bad. Like, especially compared to the main event we had in AEW with Lance Archer against Dustin Rhodes. It's Damian Priest against Keith Lee for the NXT North American Championship. Sucked. It was a slow, prodding, sloppy match. Lee has always been a big guy, but he even looked out of shape on this one. It was bad. I don't even want to talk about it. It was that bad of a match. It was not good. Keith Lee is a star, but he's got a lot to work on. His promos suck. His transitions suck. His facials suck. Great athlete, typically. But this is a pretty good show. I actually enjoyed this more than AEW. Except for the Riddle and Thatcher thing. That was so fucking stupid. But the wrestling was really good, and the show felt really quick, where to me, AEW kind of dragged. Ratings-wise, last week, NXT did 665,000 views. This week, they dropped to 637,000. Last week, AEW had 731,000 viewers, and they dropped this week to 693,000 viewers. If you add up the two, it's 1.3 million people. If you add up last week's totals, it was 1.3 million people. If you add up the 2 weeks before that, where NXT had the lead, 1.3 million people. The average for the last several months has been 1.4 million people. So with the empty arena shows, it is down a little bit. But no matter what, it's still the same people watching. They're not getting any new viewers. And you can't use the pandemic as an excuse. I'm sorry. For Raw and SmackDown, you can, because they're significantly down from what they normally do. But specifically for AEW and NXT, they are the same 1.3, 1.4 million people that have been there since the third fucking week that NXT started on USA and AEW launched on TNT. Let me break this down for you, okay? NXT and USA. First started on September 18th of 2019, 1.179 million viewers. September 25th, 1.06 million viewers. October 2nd, 891,000 viewers, and never, ever broke a million again. Got close. They hit 900 once. AEW Dynamite. Their first head-to-head against NXT, October 2nd, 2019. 1.4 million viewers. The second week, 1.018 million viewers. And the third week, 1.014 million viewers. Ever since the fourth week of AEW Dynamite on TNT, never broke a million viewers again. Neither show have broken a million viewers, even gotten a million viewers, since the first 2 to 3 weeks of the show. And if you add up the numbers every week, again, it's 1.3 and 1.4 million people watching wrestling. That's it. They're not getting anybody new. Even with crowds, they weren't getting anybody new. So you can't necessarily blame the pandemic. The pandemic has dropped them 100,000 viewers. That's it, between the two. 1.3 has been the average since the Empty Arena show started. Look it up for yourself. I'm not lying. Do the math for yourself. And I keep asking myself, why? Why are these two not getting anybody new? I've asked other people why. I've asked wrestlers why. I've asked analysts why. Nobody seems to know. Now, the fans, they want to say, oh, AEW is new. They'll get there eventually. They're a startup company. That's cool. What's wrong with NXT? NXT has been around for years now. Mostly on the WWE Network. But now that they're on USA, they're not getting major numbers. They're not getting a million people each week. NXT was the darling. Everybody loved NXT. NXT was the fucking AEW before AEW was even here. Oh, NXT is so much better than Raw and SmackDown. We love NXT. NXT, 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 NXT. Their takeovers are so fucking phenomenal. But the show itself has always sucked. The weekly shows on the network always sucked. But you can't use the new excuse for NXT. It may be new to some people that didn't watch on the network, but they should have a bigger core audience than what they have right now, and they don't. It's not through any fault of their own. It's usually a good show. So I don't buy that shit, that because AEW is new, that's why they don't have the fucking viewers. They've got pretty good promotion. They promote their show well better than WWE promotes NXT, trust me. And they have a bigger reach on TNT. It's a niche audience. NXT and USA, or NXT and AEW are a niche. They have a niche audience. It's a niche style of wrestling. It's not your typical mainstream, you know, what you're used to seeing from WWE or WCW over the years. It's a different style of storytelling. It's a different style of wrestling. It's more fast-paced. It's more high-flying. It's no selling. You know, it's for the new generation. Well, the new generation isn't watching either. And I said this countless times, Cody Rhodes came out and said in the infancy of AEW, we're not catering to the casual fans, we're catering to our audience. Well, this is what you're going to fucking get, Cody. You're going to get 600 to 700,000 viewers, 800 on the occasion, every week, and you're not going to get any bigger. And NXT, God bless them, they're 600 to 700,000. With WWE backing them. People just aren't watching it. I mean, even Raw still being down under the 2 million mark now. You know, 1.8, 1.9, 1.7 million. Still more people watching Raw than AEW and NXT combined. I said that a couple months ago, and it still remains true, even with Raw's lowest ratings in decades. More people are still watching empty arena Raws than both AEW and NXT combined. Stop giving me this fucking excuses and call it what it is. It's a different style of wrestling that doesn't translate to most people. If this is the greatest time to watch wrestling right now, where are the numbers? Prove me wrong. And that goes for Raw and SmackDown and ROH and Impact and New Japan. MLW, all these great, NWA, all this great wrestling to watch. Where's the 5, 6, 7 million people? You know how many fucking people watch network shows like dramas and comedies and shit? Even the goddamn Lego fucking show? 8 million plus. Mostly on the plus side. You can blame WWE for being the fucking shits. And a lot of times it is, trust me. With Impact and Ring of Honor and New Japan and AEW, all these other shows not getting millions and millions of people watching, don't fucking give me this bullshit. It's the best time to be a wrestling fan. Yeah, there's more wrestling on, but is it all good? Why aren't millions and millions and millions of people watching any kind of wrestling, period? Leave WWE out of it. Everybody wants to fucking rail on WWE and Vince McMahon and how the product sucks and he's out of touch and blah, 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 blah. That's why they don't have the fucking viewers anymore. Nobody has the fucking viewers, you morons. Get off your fucking high horses. Call it for what it is. Wrestling as a whole is not getting the viewership that other shows are. Because nobody watches wrestling anymore. All the wrestling companies combined typically won't even touch what the fucking Lego show does or fucking Blue Bloods or, you know, CSI or any of that shit. Wrestling as a whole is a niche product, to be quite honest. I'm not knocking it. I love wrestling. I'm tired of fucking people using excuses that, fucking NXT sucks because of this. AEW sucks because of that. WWE sucks because of Vince McMahon. Obviously, wrestling sucks as a whole to the mainstream world. That's my wrap-up for this week, guys. You can follow me on Twitter. I am at RadRobGaming. Check me out on Twitch. Twitch.tv/RadRobGaming, streaming every Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Central. Every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. Central. And check out my YouTube gaming page called Rad Rob Gaming. You can follow the show on Twitter. It is at RadTurtlesPOD. Send us an email, RadTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. Facebook.com/RadTurtlesWrestling. Leave us a like on there, please. And check out our Pro Wrestling Tees store, ProWrestlingTees.com/RadTurtlesWrestling. Buy you a shirt. Rep the brand. Let everybody know that your favorite podcast is RTW. Also, please check out our company website for the Reality Check Podcast Network. It is rcpodnetwork.com. I appreciate all you guys for listening. I appreciate all your support. Thank you around the world. 11% of my downloads are starting to come from overseas, which is fantastic. I can't wrap my head around that. That blows my mind. That people from all over the world are listening. I mean, it's so surreal. But I love each and every one of you all around the world. I will be back here for the flagship on Saturday, breaking down SmackDown. Talking about, we should have the final lineup for Money in the Bank, which is a week from this Sunday. And obviously, all the current news, polyester, maybe John Wang will show up with a reality check. You never know. John is a busy guy. But I'm always here for you. And he is, too, with his shows. Definitely check out Wrestling with Reality, Wrestling Anonymous, Just Thinking with Stan Wanglin. Inspire with Christopher. That's what she said with Sunny Salem. People on the stairs with Stan and Paul. The Spirit Side. All kinds of great shows on the Reality Check Podcast Network. But I will be back here for you guys because I love you guys. Saturday afternoon for the flagship. Until then, guys, be well. Take care. We'll see you on Saturday.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the RTW Wednesday Night War podcast. Once again, you can tweet the show at RadTurtlesPOD or send us an email, RadTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We appreciate all of your support. You've been listening to the RTW Wednesday Night War podcast, only here on the Reality Check Podcast Network.